next presentation is relationship between peach fruit weight, crop density, and early season temperature by Rich Morini. I will say, Rich, this is, I wish all of my technicians were here. This is their favorite subject when they were thinning all of those trees.
Okay, thanks, Ezzy. I guess I didn't really ask for this project. I had finished my last Apple NC140 planting, and I thought, I'm done now analyzing data. And Terrence Robinson came up with this bright idea that we had these peach trees planted, and let's do something with them, and he kind of nominated me. So that's how I got involved with this. Let's see if I can figure this out. Okay. So just as some background information with peaches, we know from work in some publications out of California and South Carolina and some other places, we know that fruit weight and days from bloom to harvest in peaches are negatively related to growing degree days during the first 30 days after bloom and also to crop density. So if you have heavy crops, you're going to have smaller fruit that mature a little later, and the same goes if you have cool season, early season, you're going to have larger fruit that will mature later also. But no one's looked at both of these factors together. So that was the purpose of this trial was to, the other thing is nobody had ever done it at multiple locations. It had always been done in one area or another. So we had multiple locations, and we wanted to see if the effects of crop density and early season temperatures were additive or if there was an interaction going on. So that's what this was all about. So we had five locations, which had pretty diverse environmental factors. We had three cultivars initially, but Crimson Lady didn't crop well at most locations, so we dropped that out. So we had Red Haven and Crest Haven. Each location had 10 trees of each cultivar, and we thinned them down to a target. Well, we tried to thin them down to a certain number of fruit per square centimeter of trunk cross-sectional area. The idea was to get a range from about a 0.5 to 5 fruit per square centimeter. As Essie indicated, it's hard to count fruit to get exactly what you want. You can count the same tree 5 times, you get 5 different numbers. So, but that wasn't the biggest problem. The biggest problem was weather. So some places we had frost or other factors, and so we had trouble getting those higher crop densities. So a number of times collaborators only were able to get 1 or 2 fruit per square centimeter. So that created some problems. But each year, so we had data for 4 years. Each year, each cooperator sent me data for full bloom, data of 50% harvest, yield, so that's in kilograms per tree, minimum and maximum temperatures, and then for the first 60 days after bloom, and then I use those numbers to calculate growing degree days. So the results for both Red Haven and Crest Haven are pretty similar, so I'm just going to stick with Red Haven for this talk. So just some general observations, because I don't have time for a lot of data. The fruit weight was linearly related to days from bloom to harvest, so if you harvested the fruit late, they were bigger. The R-scores were low, though. They were ranged from 0.05 to 0.4 for different locations. So there's a lot of variation between locations. Fruit weight for trees with similar crop densities and cumulative growing degree days sometimes were not as similar as you might expect, and it seemed to vary from location to and year, and so I'll talk a little bit more about that later. New York only had data for 2 years, and I'll show you they were kind of unusual, so they were eliminated from most of the analyses. I also looked at base temperatures to calculate growing degree days. I looked at 7 and 4 degrees C. 4 degrees seemed to be better. I also made calculations for 30, 45, or 60 days after bloom, and 30 days seemed to be the best, and that's what had been reported before. So that's, so I'm going to be talking about cumulative growing degree days. It was for the first 30 days after bloom and for a base temperature of 4 degrees C. Now, as I mentioned, there's a lot of variation, and you're going to see that in a minute. But I just want to try to point out what I think are some of the reasons, and there may be others that I didn't think of. But we know that you can, if you prune a tree differently, you're going to leave different numbers of buds on the tree. And so that I call that blossom density. And that can affect ultimate fruit size pretty drastically. The date of thinning has a big impact on fruit size. And I think there was some variation in when people thinned for various reasons. There could be differences in water status. Some locations irrigated, some didn't. Frost injury could be part of it, too, and I'll talk more about that in a couple minutes. And then tree nutrition could be quite different from one location to another. So I think there's a lot of sources of variation, and when I show you the data, you're going to see a lot of variation. And I think at least these are some of the reasons for that. And this is one of the, I've analyzed data for a lot of multi-location experiments now, and that's life. There's a lot of variation. So this is what you get. So what happened, I put all the data into one analysis, and there's a three-way interaction with site, crop density, and cumulative growing degree days. But if we just look at one of those factors, on the vertical axis is fruit weight, on the bottom axis is crop density. You can see there's a general decline as crop density increases, fruit weight goes down, and we would expect that. That's what we'd expect. But I just wanted to see all the variation. And notice all these asterisks down in the lower left-hand corner. Okay, that's New York. And so I had some discussions with Terrence Robinson about this. And so even though the crop load is low, you'd expect those fruit to be bigger. And he said, well, we had some frost. That's why the crop is low. And he said, what he thinks is going on is that it didn't kill those blossoms, but it may have injured them. So even though the fruit's there on the tree, they just didn't develop the size that you would normally expect. So at least that's one explanation. But that's contributing quite a bit to the variation. Now, if you fit a model to each site individually, that's what you get. It's kind of a spaghetti plot. So when I first did this, I went, oh, wow, what am I going to do with this? And I decided maybe to... So I like to play with data. So I was looking at a lot of different ways. And so I made these bubble plots. And I don't think I've seen this much in the horticultural literature, but I was looking for a way to represent the data in three dimensions because I had crop density and I had cumulative growing degree days. And I wanted to look at both of those. And usually when you make 3D plots, you can't really see what's going on. So this is another way to do 3D. So basically what you have here is on the bottom axis is cumulative growing degree days. On the vertical axis is fruit weight. And the size of those bubbles is crop density. So the big circles have high crop densities. The small ones have low crop densities. And one thing you can see is that as you go down towards the bottom of the graph, the bubbles get bigger. So that's because they had higher crop density, so they're smaller fruit. But there's this cluster over here in the left-hand lower corner that are relatively small, and that's New York. Okay, mostly New York, not entirely, but it just shows you that you have low crop density and cool early season temperatures, and you'd expect bigger fruit, but we didn't get it. Okay, so I pulled out two locations just to look at this too. Now here, crop density is on the horizontal axis, and the size of the bubbles is related to cumulative growing degree days. So if we look at Kentucky on the left, you can see there's a general decline in fruit weight as crop density increases, which is what we'd expect. But you can see that the size of the bubbles are kind of all mixed up. So the seasons when we had warm temperatures or low temperatures had basically the same general relationship. You go to the right side, that's South Carolina, and there's almost two populations. So you see the larger bubbles, which had warm seasons, tended to have sort of, it's not quite linear, but it's declining pretty rapidly as crop density increases. But the small bubbles up there, we have, that would have been the cooler seasons, were warmer. So you almost had, you know, if you fit two lines to this, it would be pretty different. I think the slopes would be pretty different. So in the case of Kentucky, it didn't matter whether they had warm seasons or cool seasons. They kind of responded to crop density the same. But in South Carolina, they were different. So I don't know why, but that's just the way it looks. So I took everything and I tried to fit a multiple regression model. And I took out the New York data for this because it really, really messed things up. And so I got for four locations. This is the predicted fruit weight. If I put, I tried putting in linear and quadratic terms for both crop density and cumulative growing degree days, and it turned out that there was a linear effect of crop density, but a quadratic effect for cumulative growing degree days. And what you see here are predicted values for four crop loads. So the circles at the top are light crop with one fruit per square centimeter, and you go down, the triangles are four fruit. And the R-square is 0.51, which is not great, but considering the how this experiment was done, it probably wasn't too bad. So then I finally plotted the predicted values on the vertical axis against the observed values. So if this model fit the data perfectly, all the points should have fallen on that line. And they fell pretty well, except there's a couple of brown circles out there on the right. That's Essie. Okay, he messed that up. So for some reason, you got really big fruit. And I don't, that's two trees with really big fruit. Yeah, they're big. So I don't know why. But other than those 2 points, it fit pretty well. So I feel like, you know, it's not perfect, but considering a multi-location experiment over a number of years, it fit pretty well. So in conclusion, fruit weight was positively related to days from bloom to harvest, which has been previously reported. Fruit weight and days from bloom to harvest were negatively related to both cumulative growing degree days and crop density, and that's been reported as well. But so the really new thing here is that there was not really a strong interaction between the two. So it looks like the effects of these two variables is additive rather than interactive. So to get big peaches, you want to have a light crop, and you want to have cool early season temperatures. So, and this is the rest of the authors that were involved in this. So if I don't know if we have time for questions or not. But
excellent.